Good morning. This is the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us at 4341-790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. We will be with you until 1 o'clock today and taking care of things technical, settling and making sure that everything goes all right, and answering the phone as well is John Stout, who has become part of the team. And we continue to keep my standby second in line producer, who has been away for a while, Graham Vaughan, in our thoughts and our prayers as he continues to recuperate after and repair himself after a fairly serious accident. But the last I heard, he was doing okay. His fingers certainly seem to be operational, because he did send me a message. Hope to have an interesting conversation with you, and we can have a chat on what's on your mind. What's on my mind? There are a couple of things on my mind that I wanted to share this morning with you. And of course, some of it concerns the issue that has been very much in the public domain over the last few days. One of the things I learned very early when I came to this country is the importance of name. Barbadians paid a lot of respect to the names of certain of the business houses in Barbados and people who held positions of prominence. The name was important to them for two reasons. One, because of the power they wielded, and two, because they sort of hoped that by not running afoul of these names, that their children would be able to benefit from a job when the time came. So they were always cautious about how they spoke about certain people and certain positions and positions of authority. Social media has changed all that. And there's a different disposition. Said to David on Friday when we were having a chat that the mainstream media seems to now be running to try to catch up with social media. And therefore, some of the things that are said and can be said on social media, the public would then ask, why is the traditional media curbing it? One of the things we have to be very careful about is that in our anxiety to throw the yolks off, we don't spatter the egg on our face. And I understand why there are certain discrepancies, let me put it that way, between what is said on social media and what is said on traditional media. There may be ulterior motives, there may be other reasons. I don't like to presume what people's motives are. I prefer to wait until the motive becomes clear, at least to me, and then I make my own personal decision. It is going to be very interesting to see what is the outcome of the situation with the latest drug bust. One thing I know for sure, reputations will be damaged beyond repair, and two, the demarcating lines between the various social classes in Barbados will be more clearly etched in the sand. Who decides to remove the line or step over the line will be very interesting to watch, because I don't think it's going to go away, no matter how much we will it to happen. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, hi, good morning.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm not bad. How are you, man?
I'm not too bad at all, and it's a pleasure talking to you. And Art, it's something called something that you got to figure out with is there's a word for it. We're not distraught. You can help.
Man, don't bite the word. Just go along. You're enjoying it.
And then you talk at the same hour about the unspoken word, right?
That's correct. Yeah, you see, there you go. You got it. It's called what you hear as opposed to what is said.
Oh boy, you said you performance just now. But language, language.
Language is an interesting thing.
Oh, boy. Abstract art, man. That's the thing. Abstract art and...
It's in the eye of the beholder, they tell me.
Yes, and the unspoken word.
And the unspoken word. Yeah.
Good. Look, Dennis, you know that I like talking to you. People accuse you and accuse me of me and you as buddies and all sorts. Sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
But I like talking to you. I like to follow up with you too.
I noticed that.
Good. But I heard the young minister Humphrey, right?
Mm-hmm.
This morning on News Extra, right? That your station carried. And he was speaking, obviously, I believe the setting was the Soca Royal or some other fact, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned the fact that corporate Barbados has to come on board to help out the different aspects of the festival. I want at this thing to disagree with the young minister, right? Because corporate Barbados has been longstanding supporters,
mm-hmm,
and helpers of certain aspects of the festival, the brand we call Crop Over.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go back down to the junior monarch. They carry Scotiabank, I think.
Has been around for a while. Yep, that's correct.
Yes, you know, Keir Shepherd All Stars, over 25 years, and we could go on, right? MQA, the corporate Barbados, and don't let me talk about banks. Don't let me talk about banks at all. That's a different thing called banks sponsor anything.
They've been in and out of a lot of it. Yep.
Now,
agreed.
There with you, Starcom Network, you play a part too. Because you used to give away a car, and now you're down to $15,000, which is a good handshake. You understand? So corporate Barbados have been playing a big part in the thing, in the festival, the Crop Over Festival. What I must say, though, is the festival, the players in the festival, living up to the their true representation.
Mm-hmm.
You think so?
I don't think so.
I'm not turning your program into a fireworks.
I will hope not.
Okay?
I will hope not. I heard the comments. I am sure that the former minister made the comment some time ago that, and I think the band leaders as well, and people involved in the festival have made the comment that there is tough competition for the sponsorship dollar today.
Yes.
Let's be frank and fair on a couple of things. The business community in Barbados have been watching their dollars for quite a while. And
now even more careful.
And more and more, this word sponsorship is taking on a new and different meaning. Once upon a time, I think out of a sense of community spirit, a sense of nation building, a sense of supporting a local festival, some business places were willing to put dollars as well as product into the kitty because they knew or they expected that they would have some kind of return. I have often wondered why hotels, for example, guest houses, that would obviously benefit from the influx of visitors over the crop over period. Names were not mentioned in the fore during the crop over season. Have you heard the names of hotels being mentioned as sponsors for any major events?
I want to say this. And all fairness to Golden Sands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they were involved at one point.
I was single out Golden Sands.
Yeah. Okay.
Every night at All Stars Collective, Golden Sands give yes.
Staycation.
You could win your stake. Yeah. And that is
That's support. Yeah. Okay. Now here's the thing though. Let me just finish this quickly. The other thing is when you look at the sponsorship of, and I'll pick steel bands in particular because that's near and dear to my heart.
I know. You born a pioneer.
Well, yeah, kinda. When you look at sponsorship of pans in Trinidad, in Grenada, in the other islands, they have 5, 6, 7 sponsors. They have competitions. And the sponsors are the names of companies you see here in Barbados, the commercial banks, the big merchandisers. I don't see that in Barbados. And I can't figure out why. Because you can't tell me that Grenada, with less than a population of 200,000 and an IMF program and all kind of thing, that the corporate community there could put money behind steel bands. And they can't do it in Barbados because they don't have, enough customers? Man, I don't believe that.
Dennis, you just touched a nerve there, right? Well, not a nerve. You just touched a point there. In Trinidad, where you know businesses merge and businesses separate, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Do you know that the same business sponsored two different steel bands?
Yeah, which is why I'm making the comment I'm making.
You understand what I'm saying? it's a culture. I want to say
right.
this, though. I want to say this in running, because I got to run.
Mm-hmm.
I find, though, when you come back to Grand Cadument
mm-hmm.
and the masquerade, the band leaders, the band owners, mm-hmm. I am seeing that the band owners, what do you call them, rebel leaders? Or, anyhow, they have to step up to the plate, because I am seeing that they take the lion's share. And what I notice, they beg for money, they beg for sponsor, all well. But I am saying they don't put a cent up front. A cent, not one single cent up front to parade in the people
competition
festival. They get their revenue through their members.
Mm-hmm.
You're with me by selling their
costumes
brand.
Yeah, and the brand.
Not
yeah.
one costume, cost,
the brand. Yeah.
Costume
these days is a brand.
Package,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the foundation give them a stage to parade band.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying Spends to the band leaders, they need to do more.
They will come for you.
Personally, and I had this argument with you many years, if a costume band want to perform or parade in my festival,
they got to pay.
They got to pay. And then, because when you do that, you lift the standard. Dennis, thanks for entertaining me here.
Okay, my friend, take care. Somebody says hotels now have to pay more on water rates next month. So that's where the sponsorship money go in. they're paying for garbage and sewage. And I think some hotels have always paid for to have their garbage disposed. They have rented skips, certainly in the ones I've worked at. They've rented skips, and they have, they've paid their way over the years. So, okay. If that's the excuse they use, we shall find out. But I don't think so. Brastax, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey.
How are you?
I am all right, and you?
Very good.
Good. Tell me.
Yesterday, when they gave out the numbers.
The numbers. Mm-hmm.
Someone called in and tried to indicate that I was not telling the truth.
Yeah, that's all he said and he went, yes.
Right? All he covers is his rent.
Well, maybe his phone ran out.
I said what I said. I stood by yesterday. I stand by now and I will stand by till I die. Right? The truth might be offensive to some people, right? But it's not a thing.
Well, some people see the truth differently.
Now, to the new chairman of the transport authority, I know your capabilities. You have always been successful in whatever you have done. I have no doubt you'll be successful now. But there is something that has to be changed. No matter how much uniforms the workers are wearing, no matter how much tanking the buildings they have to paint,
mm-hmm.
the attitude of those workers, those of them who do foolishness, have to be changed. They have to be. And we cannot have a problem that's been going on now for almost 40 years or thereabout, and no solutions can't be reached.
How are you going to start to change the what you call the attitude?
Well,
because
I made a suggestion once, there are a number of suggestions, but the one that I stood by in principle for a long time, and no one can say is unfair. If the Attorney General can talk to the marshals or judges, and give every one of them a new beginning. Expunge everybody's record. Everybody. Don't matter how many offenses you had, a new beginning. But that is going to come with one condition. That if you sneeze anywhere that you shouldn't sneeze,
then you're in trouble again.
There are no more chances. No one can say there's anything unfair about that.
But
everybody deserves a second chance.
Well, I agree with you on the second chance. The challenge for you here is this. If you keep the same people in the same conditions, working under the same structure, what is the incentive for them to change? You see, my thing has always been, you don't replace a bad habit with nothing. You have to replace a bad habit with something so you don't fall back into the bad habits. So if you have a problem with image, if you have a problem with working conditions, if you have a problem with remuneration, unless you find some way to re-incentivize the people who have become disenchanted with the system, they're going to fall back into their own old bad habits. No, you got to look at some of the things they've been charged with. Hold on a second. Some of the things they've been charged with, putting on people in places other than the bus stop is one of the things that they get charged with regularly. But if somebody is standing in a place other than a bus stop and flags them down, isn't that person encouraging them to break the law? And since we have said the upholder is worse than the thief, why it is we charge the fella and not the person that flag him down? You see, so there are all them kind of things that come into play. Now, I have seen some bad behavior on buses, both public transport and privately owned transport, right? Now, if you're going to charge one set, the rule has to apply to all. So we also have to look at how charges are applied so that people don't feel that they're being unfair, because then they're going to do foolishness.
Yeah, because, Dennis, I had also suggested, and I had spoken to the chief licensing officer about this, that passengers who, okay, let's say a man is on the move toward the bus port.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving. You're not stationary.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem if the driver go to the bus one or the other, take a chance.
Precisely.
I have suggested that the passengers also should be charged.
Yeah, I know you've done that, which is why I pointed it out. Yeah.
I had suggested a fine of $200. The chief licensing officer said, $200? I said, yeah, that's something. He said, no, five. You see,
but he ain't got the power to do that, you see.
You see, as you rightly said, another thing too, I feel in this day and age, every owner should be looking at paying those men a salary. I feel so, man.
Well, I have not been in the sector and not owning buses. I don't know how difficult or how easy it is to do that. But I will say this to you. There has to be some kind of readjustment of fees, remuneration. It has to happen. Now, how long it takes to happen and how it happens is going to be a challenge for the administration, the authority. The type of buses used, I think we need to have a look at that. The route reorganization, we've had so many studies done on routes, where bus stops are placed, what's happening with the new housing estates that have gone up. Do we need to readjust that? But it comes down to cost. I know the members of the organization have asked for duty-free licenses, but if you have to still pay high fees for parts, maintenance, and the actual running of the bus because of the cost of fuel, whatever type of fuel you use, it is going to mean that your operating costs are going to go higher. Unfortunately, in our environment, and I'm talking right across the board, whenever there is a drop in revenue, what is done is that you cut people. That has happened across the board. It is being suggested that it's going to happen again. So, if you have less people going to work, you're going to have less people using transport, public transport. And if things get tight and people put down their cars, you're going to need public transport. So how you balance the demand with the supply is something you're also going to have to look at, which was why I made the comments I made earlier about how we should be paid. But, you know, my friend, I hope, I know the gentleman like you do. Perhaps I know him a little better than you do because I've worked with him on a couple of occasions. I hope he listens and that he's able to convince those who actually create the policy to follow what he has suggested.
I am not a betting person, but I will bet that he's going to be successful. I know he's going to be successful.
Because you've given him advice, right? He hired you as a consultant?
No. I can tell you, right? Anybody who listens to people, because anybody who listens to people,
you're only pulling your leg.
And you know what is going on with the people. Mm-hmm. You're destined to be successful, and that's what ENS is. You see, when you're dealing with people, you have to talk to the people. You got to talk down to the people that some people have done in the past. And one quick thing, too, before I left, Facetown is going to come back. I will talk to you about that, and I will let you on board. It's for someone. A lot of people think that as an idiot, see? But they ain't for a base of race.
Why, too?
A lot of people think so. And they want to keep on thinking so.
I am.
You see, and when... What people don't realize yet, too, that the more the traitors fight me down, the stronger it makes me.
Fair enough, sir.
I have learned a lot from you. Normally, we just got one letter sometimes strong, but you have taught me a lot, and I'm grateful for that.
You, like the previous callers, flogged me when you're already. I have a flogging looking kind of back, apparently. Good to hear you, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Got a note here from someone who should know, who said to me, you can be charged for getting on or off a public service vehicle, motor, omnibus, minibus, or ZR at a place other than a bus stop. Don't know many people who have, though, been charged. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, good day, Mr. Johnson.
How are you, sir?
I am remarkable. Mm-hmm. And you?
I am good.
I am glad. Now, you know, I have got a kind of style at times that when everything is a lot of fanfare, I sort of stop back and carry my analysis and then we'll come and put a perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm usually that way. Sometimes you say, well, I'm going to break the ice on this now, come. But this one with this drug, whatever, and all the fanfare and carrying on, whatever. Mm-hmm. I listened to a chap yesterday who made it very clear that if the persons were charged and then they were granted bail and bail was accepted for two persons, excluding
they had sureties. They weren't sureties. Accepted. They were had sureties.
All sureties. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's two. They obviously would have been sorry, though, and the person that didn't get theirs, sorry,
was remanded.
Would have been reminded. And that caller made it, I mean, crystal clear. With all this, whatever.
Sir, because of what I said at the start. Mm-hmm. 4 years, I can make it plain. I don't know why it is. Perhaps it's the English tradition of Barbados being colonized by the British and being British right up to independence, mm-hmm. that there's this stiff upper lip and we should not say this and we should whisper behind or hands about certain things, and I've learned to accept it as being the tradition and try not to offend too many people, but I'm a plain speaking person.
But I was going to ask you, no, you were mad at, so.
No, sir, I'm not. I've run into trouble in too many places. It's the Caribbean me. I walk off the cliff rather than be killed. I will let the blood of my ancestors flow in the waters so that when you bathe in it, you get washed in it. There's a story behind that. Anyway, but here it's no. If you read the story of the Caribs at Leapers Hill in Grenada, you know what I'm talking about. They walk off the cliff rather than being enslaved. They said the blood of the ancestors will flow in the waters forever. And you will always remember. Let me say to you, what I said at the start of the program, I mean and understand about this country because I've lived here on and off for a long while.
Right.
Barbados has a reverence, a deference to names of people because of the financial and social position they hold in the economy.
Right.
And the reason why they defer to them is because they would not like their name to be sullied, so that when their children go to ask for employment,
right,
they're not told, or your father is a so-and-so, or your father said so-and-so, to this word that we keep using, victimized.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Because of that, sir, and because of the names involved in this, this is an opportunity where the yoke is off and people could say, ah, we always want a big fish. We got big fish. Let's have a fish fry.
Mm-hmm.
So questions of sureties, questions of bail, questions of fair play go out the window. If I had to advise the persons involved, I would have told them to say nothing when you walked away from the courthouse, except to say, we hope, as has happened in the past, the justice system in Barbados does what is required of it, and we expect justice to be done, and walk away. Full stop. The minute you start talking, you don't win this in the court of public opinion. You can't. Nobody is going to walk out of this unscathed. Nobody. Neither the police, the prosecution, the defense, nobody. And as I said, the lines of class and social status and money will be clearly defined in the sands. Again, remember a CAISO called Jack Don't Want Me to Bait on My Beach?
Yeah. I remember.
You remember what caused that CAISO?
Yeah.
The divisions down the line then?
Yeah.
That got washed away with the sands of time because a generation came up that didn't know who Jack was or Beach was or what the noise were, was about.
Yeah, I remember.
It's now going to be remarked in the sand again.
But, yeah, when is my turn?
Yours. Go right ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But let me tell you something. Mr. Jones, you're not easy, boy.
Sir, I can't be for lots of reasons that I'm not going to go into, but I can't be.
Yeah, all right. I know you for years. Listen.
You think you know me. You don't. You think you know me. Go ahead.
Well,
you know some. They got pieces of me you ain't see yet.
Right. Well, okay. That can happen. Mm. But we glean so far over the time. Because remember before I say that, sometimes you don't know what somebody's going to say. But from the time they say it, then you can be right.
You know that you're coming from where you're coming from. They ain't beating the bush.
Yeah. Right, and you're down the road with it off his head, and you don't have no script. Anyhow.
No, I don't.
Mr. Johnson, let me tell you something now. You see all this talk about somebody giving bail and not. The question I would want to ask, these persons were remanded for 4 days, huh?
They were being questioned for four days. Yeah.
Serious question, not remanded. These persons were questioned for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
The question that persons, this is where we'll find you can question. If one person was given cellular confinement for 4 days and the other person were placed in a room and not gone cellular confinement, but if all went cellular confinement, you can't say there's any discrimination between.
Well, I wouldn't know that.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying that if it is all three at all times, we're cool. But if you had the case where two were and one wasn't, however, I'm only saying to establish that would be a clear case of preferential treatment. That's all I was trying to say.
Okay.
You understand what I'm getting at? Right. So, but if you're jointly... Hello?
I'm listening to you, sir.
If you're jointly charged, then... Man, I don't know where the separation come about. That, look.
Sir, the separation... I don't know police interrogation techniques. I don't know... If one of the things you do is you place three people in three different rooms and you rotate the questioning officer so that, you know, you find out whether stories are gelling or not, that's police procedure.
Yeah.
I have not heard us questioning. You see, it goes back to what I said again, right? I have never heard this level of questioning about two fishermen, one Guyanese and one Bajan, who get held in a pirogue off of Bronx Beach. And that's why it comes back to what I tell you about name and class and the way we just get on. You know, I have never heard it on this program. Never.
Another thing.
Never.
You see the press conference on Presidente too.
You heard my comment on that, sir? That if I were the one advising,
I would say nothing.
They stick microphones, say, we expect that justice will be served. Walk. Nothing right. else. Leave that to the lawyers and all the right. PR people.
But, yeah, all right.
You can't win that battle. Cannot win. Listen, let me put it in another way, right? A friend of mine sent me an explanation given by a Calypsonian for a Calypso in another country. Right. And I sent him a message saying, Calypsonians don't explain their Calypsos. The minute you start doing that, you're dead. The public hear what they want to hear. Okay? Right. You say, I sing my song, you hear what you want to hear. Right. The minute you start to explain, I can ask, why are you explaining? My explanation different from yours? Right, why I should follow your explanation and not mine? Sir, there are times when you say nothing.
Certain things are better left unsaid.
You can't, listen, you can't misquote silence. You could misinterpret it, but you can't misquote silence. I said no comment, full stop.
quickly now.
Yes, sir.
Right. I still have a lot of, in that topic, this consumer situation. You know, I've been always watching. And
why you don't start a consumer organization?
But I made it on Mr. Corey Lane.
Why, Corey? You see, there you go again. Why again? Start it yourself. More people might follow you. Who knows?
All right. I can ask you to your request. I'll see where you come up with. But another thing, quickly. You see that one with the transporting thing?
Mm-hmm.
Let me hear something to tell you, man. And I know this with some authority. If a fella has a bus, a van, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you pay a guy a flat rate, $500 a week,
mm-hmm.
if he takes 10 commuters or 1,000, it is $500 every Friday evening.
Correct.
Let me tell you what's going to happen there. It's going to lick up that industry in one. You know why? You got to start operating now like how you operate the ordinary worker. So that fella take your van on mornings. You go and buy a case of beers and a lady and somewhere and go bath and cool out. And come back, carry 3 passengers for the day until it is all you carry for the day. And Friday evening, you're going to give him this $500. He ain't hustling nowhere. He ain't breaking no law. He ain't stopping nobody at the end. He ain't doing nothing. Just cool boat up and down.
Why do we have that vision of our workers, sir?
No, I'm saying.
I'm asking you why you have that vision of a worker.
I'm going to answer you. I am saying the disposition will change readily because he does not have to be in a competitive setting.
Can
He's going to be very clear Friday evening. If I carry 2 people or 1,000, my money there, $500, I go on my way.
Mm-hmm.
He's hustling about your take for the day and all. And so when he goes in, comes in, he says, well, I'm only taking this. That's it. We can call about.
Let me say this to you, and this is why I'm asking why you think of our workers in that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you this. Again, experience.
Mm-hmm.
2 cousins of mine
mm-hmm.
left Citibank New York, went to mm-hmm. Trinidad with the nice portion left in their will by their father.
Right.
They bought 2 dump trucks.
Right.
And decided they were going to be running the trucks to Point Lisas to fill in the area when they were filling in Point Lisas.
Right.
They worked the trucks between midnight and 5 a.m., put it down during peak time, run it in right. off-peak time, worked out how much they were going to make per day.
Okay.
Then turned around, bought trucks, and leased them to other people and said to them, if you work the trucks this way, you make $7,000 a week. Pay us X, take Y, this is your salary. They started a whole finance company based on it. Why? Because they worked the route. They know how much you could make working specific hours, putting it down specific hours for maintenance. It is called order. If it could be done in a discombobulated, own way country like Trinidad and Tobago, why we keep insisting that Bajan workers can't work? It is something that confuses me, sir, because this country was known for its high-class workers. They worked all over the Caribbean in all sorts of places. All of a sudden in Barbados, we have decided that Bajan workers can't work.
No,
gas station attendants can't work. Bus drivers can't work. Public servants can't work. All of them giving us bad service, and that's what we got put up with. Why?
I'm not saying that, sir.
Even people in the media. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no. Listen to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. But I'm going to stick by this. Mm-hmm. If you say $500 Friday evening,
mm-hmm.
and you don't go to Google and search for your van, then you come back to me and say, we're all you're wrong. But I know you can go to Google and look for your van. Okay. I'm telling you. Okay. I'm guessing.
Are you telling you no idea? No, I'm just telling you, I ask you why we get to this.
I know what you're saying.
That's the reason why I ask why we get to this.
But it's unfortunate, but that is a fact. That's a fact. It's unfortunate. But another thing quickly, too. This I don't want to make it. You know, this is really for Mr. Ellis, but I could put it out there. I mean, he gets, then he would always touch on it. Mm-hmm. You know, you asked about, is it still a fraternity or organization of journalism?
It was revised. It was revised recently. They have reconstituted the Barbados Association of Journalists, yes.
Why do you ask that? Mm-hmm. I said to Mr. Ellis prior to the election just passed, mm-hmm. that, and from the last election I indicated, he said it was a reasonable call that he made it this time around.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't want journalists to come out and say this beforehand, and then they got to come back and correct it. Well, no, it's so and so and so and so and so. Mm-hmm. We had it this one, and you know of the one way speak, but you nudge at me, man. You say, how come you vote for a candidate, whatever? Mm-hmm. But then it was clarified that that's not really so. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
The next one here recently now is with this same drug busting. You heard this talk about $3 million, this, that. But in truth, in fact, that did not come officially from the police. That was through the media again, journalists, et cetera. So I keep saying these journalists need to double-check and triple-check before they make their announcement.
Sir, I will tell you what I said to David on Friday, and I said earlier on.
Yeah.
Social media has taken charge of the media landscape in Barbados.
Okay.
And traditional media is playing catch-up.
Okay.
And by that, I mean they are behind the curve.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't follow certain trends or say certain things, they're accused of cover-up.
Okay.
And that the big shot advertisers are calling the shots and telling them what can and cannot be printed and so on and so on. So, and here's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
How many journalists do they have in Barbados?
I have a clue.
Good. I know we have reporters.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
There's a difference.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I regard you, sir.
I too. Take care. This is Down to Brass Tacks.